This morning, Ku'uwehi Hiraishi joins us to talk about where things are on the ground when it comes to the lava inundation that we saw in the Big Island. You were just there.
I was just there. I did. It's been 6 months as of last Saturday that this has happened, that this eruption actually took place in Leilani Estates from Kilauea Volcano. So I got to check up on some of the evacuees that I met when I initially went there. And when I met this one in particular, so Leilani Estates resident, April Buxton, I met her. She had her tent set up, one of the first in the parking lot of the Pahoa community shelter. And I remember her being very just living in limbo. She didn't know what was going to happen, how long the eruption was going to last. And this was in May. And she spent about 2.5 months at the shelter, later found a shelter with a friend for a couple of months before Leilani Estates actually opened back up and the evacuation order was lifted in September. So she has been home in her home, which has not been lost to lava in sort of upper Leilani Estates, as you would call it. She's been home for about a month now, cleaning out her gutters, getting everything situated, but hasn't fully returned to normal. But I talked to her. I got to catch up with her to see how things were going. And this is what she had to say about what's happening on the ground there.
It seemed like right after the first month that this was happening, that mainstream media and everybody just kind of went on to the next big story. But, you know, the fact is even though this eruption's in a lull, it's still very much active. We have steam vents all over throughout Leilani and across Highway 130. Days of heavy rain, you can smell the sulfur in the air very bad. There's a lot of people still trying to get insurance companies to pay out, still figuring out where they're going to live, where they're going to get the money for that. We're still definitely in full recovery mode here. This is definitely not over and probably won't be for years.
That's right. So Buxton, you know, very much, I think, painting the picture of what's going on for residents in Leilani. So 725 homes lost or covered by lava. And then about a third of Leilani Estates, it's a very large subdivision, is completely covered in lava. So some folks will not be able to return home. April Buxton was one of the fortunate who still had her home intact. But again, getting back up into getting some assistance from FEMA for any repairs necessary. Most of these folks have catchment, water catchment. So cleaning out those catchment tanks to get everything out of there. That's kind of what she's been going through this past month.
And what's the electricity situation?
So some of electricity has been restored to certain portions of Leilani Estates, but not all, of course. And then in other areas, so lava entered the ocean and pretty much landlocked Pohoiki, right? So for example, Pohoiki and all along that, sort of that coast, there's not a lot of opportunities for figuring out what to do at this point. And that's sort of the next step for the county at this point to figure out, you know, long term, how are we going to get things back up and running? Because I think for the past 6 months, it's been, how do we get these folks into shelter temporarily to just stabilize the situation? But you heard Buxton talk about the steam and I rising up from both sides of Highway 130. So this is the one of the three main highways out in Pahoa that takes you to Kalapana from Pahoa. And Leilani Avenue comes off of that road. I went there. I drove past there and it felt like I was in Volcano. You know how the sulfur banks are there? And I wasn't sure, is this safe when I went out? So I tried to reach out to USGS. Geologist, and this is Carolyn Parchetta, who's actually a rift zone specialist herself, eruption specialist. Got to talk to her, ask her all the questions about, okay, how safe is this? How much danger are we in? Are we in any more danger than we were before this eruption? And she said, no, you know, it's the same amount of danger that they have seen this sort of pause in eruption activity. And she kind of explains what that pause is really about.
We lost our driving pressure to force magma out of the ground. So all the stuff that collapsed at the summit has now come down inside the volcano to a similar elevation, and it's no longer able to push lava out at Fissure 8.
Okay.
So that's why this is either a pause or the end, and we're leaning towards this is the end of this eruption, just because we've had a long enough time gap now where typically, if an activity is to resume, it would have resumed by now.
That's right. So this pause that she referred to, for as of right now, we're about 2 months into not seeing any activity along that East Rift zone in the area that we've seen this fissure system pop up. And she says typically it's 2 weeks, so 14 to 16 days at the least that we would see a pause, and they would call it a pause. But the longest pause was in 1971 in Maunaulu, which lasted 3.5 months. So there's a possibility of it erupting again. Mm. But as always, they're constantly monitoring the situation in and around USGS's, in and around that East Rift zone every day. In fact, when I met with her, she was going out to check out the cracks to see if they're getting smaller or bigger, but they've got a lot of monitoring in the works. And she says if folks feel earthquakes or any seismic activity or see more steam than usual, those are the kind of signs to trust to know that there's possibly something happening and to get out of there. Got a chance to get some FaceTime with Mayor Harry Kim to talk about where he's at in terms of this sort of next phase of long-term planning. And he talked a lot about this idea of building a new puna, in a sense, much like after the 1961 tsunami in Hilo Town, an entire village was completely wiped off. But instead of rebuilding there, they moved everyone elsewhere and sort of considered this area, you know, in a flood zone and not build here ever again. So it's something along those lines. It will cost a lot of money at this point. He talked a lot about sort of getting, like I said, the electricity, the water, and the roads back up. Those are really the big price tags, I guess, on this recovery effort. But I did get to sit down with him, and he lost his house himself. He bought a house in 71 in Kapoho, which was taken by this recent lava eruption. He talks about sort of his personal situation and going through the idea of what he's going to do with this. Is he going to go ahead and try to rebuild or not? This is what he had to say.
I don't think I'll even ever consider going back, even if I could, because they couldn't afford it. Yeah. The road is private, so that means government will not restore it for you. It means that if you're lucky, maybe you can get FEMA to pay for 75% of the cost, if you're lucky. 25% of $10 million is still a lot of money for people. Yeah. You got to restore your own water. You got to work with the power company, restore power. Mm. Outside of that, for me, the most important thing is I bought it because of my touch with the ocean. Mm. Now the ocean is 500 yards away.
That is the situation for Mayor Kim, and I think he's really talking about the complexities that a lot of these residents are trying to grapple with, trying to figure out, do I want to return here? This $10 million price tag that he mentioned, so that was the lower scale of cost for roads, right? So barging through these lava beds of roads and trying to restore the old roadways would cost anywhere from 10 to 20 million, according to Mayor Kim. And so these are some of the things that Puna residents are going through right now to figure out what to do next.
That was HPR reporter Ku'uwehi Hiraishi talking about the Big Island's recovery from Kilauea's eruption. You can find her reports online at hawaiipublicradio.org.